Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. I almost said welcome to Luke's Diner because we're going through this series called Meals with Jesus in and through the book of Luke. So I thought it would be really catchy and cool if I said welcome to Luke's Diner. Question for you. Dinner etiquettes. When you are going to a Korean house, if you are invited to a Korean home, do you know your dinner etiquettes? Well, here's one. Do not leave anything on your plate. Why not? You gotta eat everything off your plate because if you leave something behind, the host might think the food was not delicious enough. So that's a dinner etiquette. However, when you are invited to a Chinese home, do not eat everything on your plate. You gotta leave something behind. Why? Because if you ate everything and there's no more food left, there isn't enough food for the seconds and the thirds, and you ask for more, the host will be ashamed. So here's a question for you. How many can you feed? That's right. How many can you feed? Which dinner event that you hosted had the largest number of guests? 10? That's a large number. 20? Whoa, that was a challenge, wasn't it? For me, about 50. You say, what? When the Lord, the Messiah, called my wife, Una, and me to Edmonton to start a new community of disciples of Jesus Christ, he wanted to start building a community in which people belong to Jesus. We began meeting in our home. We didn't have a venue or church location. Our home was the first house church. And every Sunday, we would have a worship celebration, followed by table fellowship celebration. Everyone brought a plate to share. It was the good old-fashioned potluck lunch. And it was fantastic. So flavorful and so delicious and so satisfying. Koreans brought bulgogi and kimchi. The Hispanics brought arepas. And the Jamaicans, the Caribbeans, they brought their jerky chicken. And it was fantastic. The Dutch people brought their cheese. Fantastic. I miss those days. The reason I'm talking about all this is this. If I were to give you only two ingredients to host a dinner, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, how many can you feed? You say about 5? So 1 bread per person, 1/3 of fish per person, that's about 5. Okay. How many can you feed? Can you feed 10 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Oh, that would be a challenge, right? There isn't enough for everyone. Well, how about this? Can anyone feed 5,000 people, 5,000 hungry people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? You know what you're going to say? No way, no way, no way, no way. Not in a million years. Nope, nope. That is impossible. That is outside the realm of possibility. That's right. I would concur. But Jesus Christ, he feeds 5,000 and more. I'll say more about that. And by so feeding this multitudes of crowds, Jesus reveals something about himself and about you and me. Here's the theme and the goal sentence. Please write these words down. When Jesus feeds you, he reveals his divine identity, he calls you to your destiny, and he provides you with security. So let me take you to the narrative, to the account. It's from Luke chapter 9, and as we read it together, please use picture it method. Picture it method. You say, what is that? Put yourself in the story. Place yourself in the narrative. See yourself among the crowds. See yourself right in the 12 disciples circle, or better yet, See yourself right next to Jesus. See, imagine the sights, imagine the sounds, imagine the scent. And most of all, perhaps, imagine the hunger. So let's get to it. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke chapter 9. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the twelve came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." Jesus replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. How many? 5,000 men. More on that later. But he said to the disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, open our eyes. Help us to see Jesus. Open our ears. Help us to hear Jesus. Open our hearts. Help us to conceive Jesus. Reveal him to us all the more, that we may respond to him. To your glory, in the name of Christ, amen. When Jesus feeds you, again, picture yourself among the crowd, in the crowd. When Jesus feeds you, he reveals his divine identity. Write these words. Luke is such a good storyteller and a fantastic teacher. He is using a literary device called chiasm to reveal the identity of Jesus. You say, "What are you talking about?" Say chiasm. You know what? I have a better idea. Luke is using this literary device, and I'm going to call it Luke's fish sandwich. Imagine a fish sandwich, fish. There's the top bun, top bread, bottom bread, and what's in the middle? The meat, the fish. The literary device is kind of like this, like a sandwich. So the top bread, a question is raised. The bottom bread, the question that was raised is repeated. And what's in the middle? In the fish, the meat? That's where the answer to the question lies. So are you ready? So let me take it to this. The first evidence of this is this. 433 BC, to be exact, there was a prophecy through the mouth of Malachi. The Lord God Almighty said, he prophesied, before the coming of the Messiah, before the coming of the Anointed One of the Lord, before the coming of the Savior, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, before the coming of that Lord, that King, there will be someone else as a forerunner appearing. Let me take you to Malachi chapter 4. The Lord speaking, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents." Who's going to come? He will turn the hearts of the people towards God. But before that happens, Elijah will appear. Okay, now, why is this important? Luke is familiar with Malachi. And he writes in chapter 1 of his own account, the book of Luke. Here's what he writes. Chapter 1, verse 17. speaking of John the Baptist. And he, John the Baptist, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You see that? Before the appearing of the Messiah of God, before the coming of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, before the appearing of the rule and the reign of the King, what's going to happen? John the Baptist and Elijah will appear. Okay? Now, let me take you back to the sandwich, Luke's fish sandwich. Listen to this. In verse 7, here's a top bread. Let's reveal the top bread. Verse 7 in chapter 9. Now Herod, the tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, what Jesus was doing, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Others said that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. I chopped his head off. Who then is this about? Okay. So that's the first question. Who is this Jesus? Herod asks. So that's the first top bread. The question is raised. Let's go to the bottom bread. Chapter 9, verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. Did you hear that? That is the sandwich, the top bread and the bottom bread. Jesus is asking the same question. Who do the crowd say I am? What do people say about me? And the same question is raised. And the same response is given. Some say Elijah. Some say John the Baptist. Okay? Now, the answer to those questions, the same question, is found right in the middle of the sandwich, the fish. And what is in the fish? The feeding of the 5,000. One of the greatest miracles, maybe second only to the miracle of the resurrection, recorded in the gospel accounts. Because what you're going to find out is in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus reveals himself as the anointed one of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the King of all kings, and the rule of all, the Lord of all lords, the King who reigns and rules on this earth. So, what say you? What is so amazing about feeding of the 5,000? Well, that's because Jesus turns on the disciples and says, never mind what Herod says about me. Never mind what the crowds say about me. Who do you say I am? And this is in Luke chapter 9, verse 20. This is the most important question you, I, every person on this face of the earth must answer. And the question is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say he is? And here's Peter's response. After witnessing the feeding of the 5,000, he comes to this conclusion, and Peter declares. He says in verse 20, God's Messiah, you are the anointed one. You are the one whom Malachi spoke about. You are the one that John the Baptist pointed to. You are the one that we've been waiting for. The one who satisfies our soul cravings. Not just hunger, but our soul cravings. Not just physical hunger and thirst, but soul cravings. Since you are the Messiah, you will satisfy our spiritual hunger, the ultimate hunger, and you will satisfy our thirst. You will quench our thirst. You are the living water. You are the living bread, because you are the Messiah. So when Jesus feeds you, Christ reveals his identity, that he is the Messiah. Two, when Christ feeds you, he calls you to your destiny. Question. How much were the leftovers? How much were there? Luke writes 12 basketfuls of leftovers, the broken pieces of the bread and the fish. Don't you find it strange? I do. And you should too. It's like this. You ask me, oh, Victor, how was your dinner party last night? And I said to you, it was fine. And there were 3.5 hamburger buns left, 2.5 smokies left, and 3 grams of strawberries left. No one talks like that. I don't talk like that. You don't talk like that. But that's what Luke is doing. He is so specific as to how much leftovers there were. He could have said there were much, much leftovers. But he gives the exact amount. How much? 12 basketfuls. So something is going on here, right? Something is going on here. So what's going on? What does this have to do with our destiny? In verse 1, in the book of Luke, Luke calls the followers of Christ the disciples, mostly disciples. Peter, John, disciples of Christ. But listen to this in verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, whom did he call? Luke does not say disciples. He gives a specific connotation. The 12. He gave them authority and power to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The 12. 12 baskets. 12. So here's my guess. Now, Luke does not definitively explain to us the meaning of the word or the number 12. But here's my theological biblical explanation. Are you ready? There's something else that is referred to by the number 12. What is that? The answer is the 12 disciples of Israel. Meaning, here's what I believe Jesus is doing, or Luke is referring to. Jesus is creating a new people. He is creating a new community. No longer is salvation belong to a particular cultural people in a particular place, in a particular nation of Israel. Jesus is saying, all who are called to be my disciples, that is your new identity, your destiny, and therefore I am creating a new community, new people, new nation with my disciples. That is what's going on. And in Jesus saying, since when I am your Messiah, when you call me my Creator, my Redeemer, my Sustainer, when you put your trust in me as the one who created you, as the one who saves you, as the one who sustains you and provide for you, you receive this destiny, Jesus says. The destiny of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is right. Disciples of Christ. Now, I don't want to use the word Christian anymore. You know why I don't? The word Christian, the label Christian, does not mean anything anymore today in 2022 in Edmonton, Canada, in North America. It doesn't mean anything. As in, someone might say to you, I'm a Christian. But when you talk to them further about this, you discover he ain't a follower of Christ. The label Christian is just a label. It's just an identification, but it's not who they are. Jesus may not call them a true Christian. And that's why Jesus would prefer the term disciples of Christ nowadays. So here is a question for you. If Christ is your Messiah, if he is your Creator, Redeemer, and the Sustainer, are you an all-in disciple of Jesus Christ, or are you in the crowds? Are you an all-in, I'm all-in, I am zealous, committed, devoted, follower, disciple of Christ, or are you in the crowds? What's the difference? Listen, after feeding of the 5,000. Okay? The following day, according to John, in the same narrative, everyone leaves Jesus. Only 12 are left. So today, imagine, at the picnic, there are 5,000 plus 12 disciples. So 5,012. 24 hours later, there are only 12 left. The crowds, they dispersed. They went home. They left Jesus. And you know why they did? Because Jesus was not their Messiah. They came to Jesus to fill their stomach. And when Christ made this declaration, if I am your Messiah, then you must follow me. And when you follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily and follow me. There is the cost. There is the commitment. There is the zeal. And they didn't want to do anything to do with that. They just wanted to have their fill, satisfy their stomachs. It's like they weren't following Jesus for the sake of Jesus. They were following Jesus for their own sake. They weren't pushing the agenda of Jesus' kingdom. They were pushing their own kingdom agenda. They were using Jesus. They just wanted things from Jesus, like the food, like the bread, like the fish, like the security and the provisions. But they really did not want to serve Jesus. They were serving themselves. So here's a question for you. Is your life identified, characterized as in, I am a fully devoted follower of Christ because I see myself with the 12. And with the 12, what do you see? They did three things. Exactly what Jesus did. They mirrored what Jesus did. Three things. They went around. Christ sent them out. And they cast out demons. They set people free. Not only the literal evil spirits, but from oppression, from addictions. You know someone who's suffering from addictions, don't you? Someone who's been enslaved. They're in bondage. Of gambling, pornography, or eating disorder, or anxiety. And Christ says, if I am your Messiah, and if you are my disciple, you will engage in the activities of setting these people, set the oppressed free. Second, proclaim the kingdom of Christ. You got to proclaim Jesus Christ is the King of all kings, and he is on the throne today. In the midst of all the chaos and all the brokenness of my life and your life, of the world, Jesus rules and reigns and is sovereign. And you proclaimed it. You proclaimed it. And you say, Jesus is number one in my life. And then third, heal the sick. Heal the sick. Both physical sickness, mental sickness, emotional sickness, those who are hurting and suffering, you become the hands and the feet of Jesus' compassion and his justice. It doesn't matter what kind of occupation you have. You may be a plumber, but you are first a disciple of Christ who happens to be a plumber. Your vocation is plumber, and your occupation is, excuse me, your vocation is a disciple of Christ, and your occupation is plumber. You may be a nurse, but your vocation is a disciple of Christ, and your occupation, you just happens to be a disciple of Christ who is a nurse as your occupation. You see? So here's the question. Are you an all-in disciple of Christ, or are you with the crowds? Are you more concerned about pushing the agenda of Jesus' kingdom or that of your own? Let's move on. When Christ feeds you, number one, he reveals his divine identity. Number two, he calls you to your destiny. And number three, he provides you with security. Again, picture it, friends. Picture it. So the disciples come to Jesus saying, Lord, it's getting late. Luke says, late in the afternoon, meaning all morning long, all day long, Jesus is healing people. Jesus is casting out evil spirits, setting people free, and he's proclaiming, teaching the kingdom of God all day long. And it's getting late, sun's setting, and people are tired. And maybe the disciples felt, man, that's a long sermon, Lord. It's been going on all day long. Send the people away, because we are in a remote place, because they need food and provisions, right? And what was Jesus' response? He says, you give them something to eat. Disciples' response was, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And Luke adds, about 5,000 men were there. How many? 5,000 men. Now, in those days, they only counted the heads of men. It's like in the Roman Empire, they only taxed households, not number of family members. So there were 5,000 households, one commentary says. 5,000 households. What that means is this. Let's be conservative. So there's one in one household. There's a man and the wife, and let's say 2 children. Okay? Just round it off. 4 members per household times 5,000. What's that? We're talking about 20,000 people, friends. 20,000. The miracle is not the feeding of the 5,000. The miracle is feeding of the 20,000. 20K. All right? 20K. That is an amazing, amazing miracle. But here's Jesus' response. You give them something to eat. What's the lesson here? When Jesus is your Messiah, and when you are His disciple, and when you are on mission for Jesus, for His kingdom, and for His glory, and Jesus is saying, hey, I don't need your ability. I just desire your availability. Write this. This is worthy mentioning again. Jesus does not need your ability. Rather, He desires your availability. Friends, let this sink into your soul and spirit. Since Jesus is the Messiah, He is all sovereign, He's all powerful. He does not need any one of us, and let alone our ability. But because He's sovereign, He desires, He wants to accomplish His goal and purposes through our availability. So picture it. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And you and disciples, you and the 12, me included, we look at what's in our hands, right? And we say, Lord, only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Your security, the source of your resources, your security is not what's in your hands, but in whose hands you are. Oh, that's a good line. That is such a good line. Your security in when it comes to having resources in your life, your security is not what's in your hands, but in whose hands you are. And here we are. We are so concerned about what's in our hands. We don't live by faith, we live by sight. And Christ is saying, I am your security. Isn't it true? Let's make one confession. We have such a short memory, don't we? Because in verse 1, Jesus sends the 12 out with His power and authority. In the power of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, go and set people free. Go and proclaim the kingdom of Christ, and go and heal the sick, right? And as they go, Jesus says, listen. In verse 3, chapter 9, take nothing for the journey. Take nothing for the mission. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt, no extra underwears. Take nothing with you. Why not? Because I'm your security. I'm going to provide for you. You don't want to depend on what's in your hands. You want to depend on in whose hand you are. Amen, amen, amen. So friends, when you are on Jesus' mission, when you are pushing for His agenda, and then when you are a follower of Christ doing His will, you will never, ever lack anything, because Jesus is your security. One illustration. When the Messiah, Jesus Christ, called my wife and me to leave behind Kalamazoo, Michigan, leave everything behind, and then go to Edmonton, Canada, and start a new community of disciples of Jesus Christ. We went, And we trusted that the Lord will provide. We trusted that He is our security. What happened in 2007? Well, back in the U.S., there was a bust in terms of housing market. The housing market was so cold, it was, we were frozen. We sold our home at that time. And what was happening in 2007 in Edmonton? The housing market was so hot, oh my goodness, it was scorching hot. Do you think we had enough money after selling our home back in Michigan? Do you think we had enough money to buy a home in Edmonton in 2007? No. We met with a realtor, and she said, two questions. What are you looking for in your home? And what's the second question? How much is your budget, right? So first question, we said, we're looking for a home that will meet the following three functions. Home for my family, four of us. Office space for Victor, and then meeting gathering place for the New House Church. We gotta hold 50 people in our kitchen, living room, and the dining area. And the second question was, how much do you have? I laugh because given the budget, what we gave to the realtor, she couldn't find the right home, a home that would meet the three functions. For my family, my office space, and the venue for a New House Church, right? Guess how many homes we looked at? Not 40, not 80. We looked at 120 homes because we couldn't find the right home. And someone said, Victor, stop looking at what's in your hands. Start looking at in whose hand you are. That was so precious. She said, you're doing it all wrong. You're studying with your resources. You're looking at what's in your hands. You got five loaves of bread and two fish. But instead, remember, look at in whose hands you are. So we told our realtor, Donna, scratch the whole thing. Don't start with the budget. Find the right home, a home that will fulfill those three functions, and the Lord will provide. And guess what happened? The Messiah, Jesus Christ, the miracle worker, the one who fed 20,000 people and 12, he found a home for us. It was a supernatural, miraculous provision. So friends, I just want to end with this. Remember, when Jesus Christ feeds you, he reveals his divine identity. He's the Messiah. And number two, what does he do? He calls you to your destiny. You are a disciple of Christ, and you are in his community now, on his mission. And then thirdly, he provides you with security. You will lack nothing when you follow Jesus. Not when you're serving yourself, not when you're building your kingdom, but when you follow Jesus. He will provide. He will provide. Let's pray. As we pray, I want to give you three applications. Claim, confess, challenge. Okay? Claim. Is there a promise for you to claim? Is the Lord Messiah, Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, is he giving you a promise, a grace saying, I am your God. I am your creator. Receive me, accept me. Claim that promise. Two, confess. Do you have a sin to confess? Are you with the crowds? Are you looking at what's in your hands? Is your life about building your own kingdom and not the kingdom of Jesus? Confess, confess, confess. Third, challenge. Is there a challenge for you to accept? Jesus Christ, in his power and grace, challenging you to take a leap of faith forward in your insecurity, in your finances. Keep your eyes on Jesus and accept the challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Christ, in the name of Christ, thank you for revealing who Jesus is. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit through which we get to receive his provisions, his deity, in his rule and reign over us. May we trust him all the more, and may we serve him all the more, and may we experience the power of the risen Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.